All right, got a good one coming at you here, although it's not good news for the Brooklyn Nets. They lose to the Nuggets in the second half of the back-to-back after following the loss to the Lakers. This one's a tough one. It's a solo podcast here. I'm going to go through some of the stuff that went wrong in the game. There's a couple good takeaways, I think, from this one. But ultimately, as a Nets fan, you got to be looking at this one and saying, hey, we dropped the last three. Harden had to sit this one out. The team's got some problems right now. They're about to go through a rough stretch. This one, I don't know. Maybe we're starting to worry a little bit. We'll talk about it all. But first, the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome back to the Locked On Nets podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, the Brooklyn Nets, every single day. Gotta say thank you for making us your first listen. We're free and available on all platforms, YouTube, iTunes, all the great places. Make sure you subscribe over to that Locked On Nets YouTube channel. And also make sure you're visiting our friends over at Prize Picks. There's only one place that has you covered. Don't hesitate to check out prizepicks.com. Use the promo code NBA. Go to your app store, download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Coming at you solo podcast here following the loss to the Nuggets on Wednesday night, 124-118, second half of the back-to-back, third loss in a row for the Nets, who have now dropped, they dropped 10 of their last 16 games. So they're 6-10 in that stretch. Now dangerously close to the play-in game. A lot of season left here. But some of that stuff that we started getting concerned about just only a few podcasts ago with the Kevin Durant injury starting to kind of creep up right now. The 2.5 games over Charlotte, technically in the 4 seed for Brooklyn, but reasons for concern here. James Harden, it gets scratched. I don't want to call it scratched. He was a late addition to the injury report with some hamstring tightness. Not the same hamstring that he injured last year, so no worries there. Nash had said it's a little bit out of caution coming on the back-to-back, so maybe we have a little, NBA rest situation couched around the hamstring, but that meant that the Nets were playing really, really shorthanded here against Denver. Harden puts in full effort against the Lakers on Tuesday night in the loss, in a loss that really ends up not being all that close. And there's been a lot made of how many minutes he's playing, the load on him, which he's, either back-channeled to the media or people are just kind of coming up with their own conclusions. But we have a situation where the Nets are in a really funny spot with him because you don't want to overextend him now to get these regular season wins, which, by the way, they didn't, whether he was playing or not. And you kind of need to not lose every game either. So about an hour, maybe an hour 30 before the game starts, it comes out. He lands himself on the injury report, and the Nets don't have Harden. And what happens is, in this game, is in a lot of ways, it's a much more exciting game than the one against the Lakers the previous night, because the Nets are, completely undermanned here. This is the Denver Nuggets. This is Nikola Jokic. This is a full-strength team. They got Barton back. They got Monte Morris in the lineup. Aaron Gordon's obviously back as well. They've been sort of missing these guys at times. And now you're facing it in 26-21. Jokic is, one of the shortlist at this point for MVP candidates. And now the Nets run out a starting lineup of Patty Mills, DeAndre Bembry, James Johnson, Kessler Edwards, LaMarcus Aldridge. And you're like, what's going to happen here? What is going to happen in this game? Are they going to lose by 20? No, and you got to hand it to the Nets here. It's a loss. There's no moral victories. A loss is a loss. It drops them in the standings. But when you look at the fight that this team put up, you can still find reasons to be proud of the Nets. Are we frustrated? Sure. Are we starting to get a little worried about this, drop in the standings and, a tough stretch coming up here for the Nets in terms of schedule? Yeah, but then you look at this game and you say, okay, well, there are good takeaways we can take here. There's a lot of fight in this team. This was definitely a winnable game. Definitely winnable. We'll go through some of the key sequences at the end. that where they ended up sort of stumbling and giving the game away. I think they gave the game away as much as they lost it in the way that this kind of thing unfolded. But you have to go kind of next man up, and then really we're beyond next man up here with the Nets as it is. But ultimately they lose by 6 points. But can we take good things away from the game? I think we can. I think we're going to be on the razor's edge in terms of where we land in Nets fandom right now, or just like, you know, folks talking about the Nets, because yeah, it's a loss, but there's a lot of good things that came out of this game, I guess. But then you still have to go back to the loss piece. So ultimately the Nets lose. Harden doesn't play. I think that's all kind of leading into the game. I think we think that that's probably okay. I think macro view of Harden in terms of his minutes right now means you have to be able to see the forest for the trees. You have to be able to know that these games are important, but we really start risking injury when there's just too much of a load to bear for him, and there's just so much running through him, and he has such a responsibility, and all this stuff needs to happen that runs through him on offense, and you just can't risk losing him for a long stretch because you're overworking him now for, you know, game 48. So they start the game without Harden, and I got to tell you, the first half for the Nets is everything you want it to be. Every single thing that you want it to be. They're winning at halftime. Okay, it's 65-54 at halftime. Everything's going right. They, you know, like they kind of controlled Jokic through the game. They've limited the scoring chances for Denver. They've gotten really nice numbers from these guys, both from the starting lineup and from off the bench. Javon Carter gets 9 points off the bench at halftime. Aldridge has 14 at halftime. Mills has 12 at halftime. Cam Thomas, 12 points, cannot miss. Absolutely cannot miss in the first half. Really couldn't miss the whole game. And so you get this like sort of sense of believing that the Nets might pull this one out. Because the first half, it gave you all the reason to think that. They had a 23-8 run to end the half. Jokic is a 7-4-3, 7 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds at halftime. Like, that's the easily the best line you could ever imagine, holding this guy to, right? Holding Nikola Jokic, who's among the very best players in the game, this, like, sort of singular kind of guy that the Nets struggle with, these big centers. They don't have a lot of size. Now, Jokic is a little different because he facilitates so much offense out of the top, but they will post him up when there's clear mismatches. But the Nets definitely held their own with Jokic, really the whole game. They hold their own, being able to limit his possessions, limit what he does really well. They pack the paint and bring a lot of help when he gets down close. We saw it all in the first half, and they're getting to the rim. Kessler Edwards is getting to the rim. DeAndre Bembry's getting to the rim. And this first half of the game is like, oh my God, are the Nets going to do this? Are they going to beat the Nuggets? Are they going to beat the Nuggets without the big three, with the skeleton crew of guys? And that first half gave you every indication that this was a team that could hang. Yeah, did some things go right for them? Sure. But there's tons of energy. The energy was there the whole game, even when it started to get a little sloppy. And this is the part where you look at the game and say, okay, there are a few positives we can take. It kind of has to stop there because ultimately they lose. And when we look in the standings, this is where it's, you know, it's going to land as a loss. It's not going to land as like a moral feel good loss or something like that. You don't get extra points for it. But there was a lot of fight to this team. They showed that they're a bunch of professionals that can handle, you know, having the three best players on the team and some of the best players in basketball out for the entirety. And they're going to turn to these sort of young players and some KG veterans also to make this a really, really competitive game with a really strong Nuggets team. So ultimately they end up losing. We'll go through some of the stuff that happened here in a second, but I think when I come away from this game, my overall thought is I'm still very concerned because on a macro level, this puts the Nets in a weird spot fourth in the East. Like I said, it's getting a little too close to the play-in game for comfort. We had this, you know, we've had these talks about Harden in terms of, you know, does he want out? This is the stuff that's been floating around. No, he doesn't want out. He's perfectly happy here. They're not going to trade him, blah, blah, blah. And then he sits out. So there's all this like Harden stuff floating around. We already know the stuff with Kyrie. And it's just kind of another game in a season of Nets stuff where it's like, hey, can things just be normal for 2 seconds? Can the season just be Can we just get like one normal 4-day stretch? That feels pie in the sky. Can we get one normal 2-day stretch? It's just not going to happen just the way things are shaking out right now. But this is just kind of like what the whole season has been like. It shouldn't be surprising that we're just in another game where a bunch of different guys are playing. They kind of keep it close, so they keep your heart in it a little bit. But nothing solved here. Like we're still going to go into these next couple games with the same problem. So we'll go into some of the individual performances. We'll talk about sort of where the Nets go from here, what this next stretch of games is going to look like. Give a couple injury updates because there's some stuff out there that's not so great, especially on the Joe Harris front. So we'll talk about that in a second. Tons to talk about here after this loss to Denver. Before we get to all that, got to tell you about our friends over at Bet Online. Bet Online wants to wish you a happy betting new year as we continue our march to the playoffs and beyond. Bet Online remains the number one spot for all of the best sports wagering action for 2022 and beyond. It's a new year, new updated desktop and mobile website. You can sign up today over on Bet Online. You're going to get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's just like our podcast network, Locked On, to get you started over there. They got everything you can think of when it comes to their betting here. Football, basketball, hockey, boxing, UFC. Sprinkle in some Vegas casino games as well. Got to take advantage of all the amazing offers BetOnline has for you in 2022. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to wager on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, so let's take some good stuff here. We know they lost the game. We know that it's, like I said, and it spent the whole first part of this podcast talking about where the Nets are in terms of just the, where they are in terms of the standings. We'll go with a positive here, though. Cam Thomas, my goodness. He comes off the bench. This was the game where if you're like, okay, if the Nets are going to be able to win this game, if they have a chance, if they have any chance in this game, Cam Thomas is going to have to shoot the lights out. Because they just have so little individual offense, especially among the starting unit. You wouldn't really call any of the guys in the starting unit between Mills, Bembry, JJ, Edwards, and LMA. Like, none of those guys are creators, right? None of those guys create their own shot. Can some of them slash and get to the rim? Sure. Can some of them just knock down a three-point shooting? Yeah, definitely. Do some need to, like, have a little offense facilitated through them? Like Aldridge? Yeah. Each of these guys has like real talents that they can put to use, but you wouldn't call any of those guys a creator. At some point, you need scoring to come from a guy who you can just give the ball to and he can just sort of go to work. Cam Thomas is essentially the last remaining guy on the roster at this point that can do that. They have three other dudes that are among the best in the league at this, and Durant, Harden, Kyrie. There's none of them are here. So at this point, they just need someone to be able to come in and just get get some crazy shots. Like Cam Thomas, these are becoming weird Cam Thomas shots where he, his body isn't even facing the rim. Or he's not square at all. He's actually like perpendicular to the rim, which is nuts. Which really from almost anybody, you would start to cringe if they were taking shots like this. And yet Cam takes them and they weirdly go in. Sometimes it looks a little rough, but that's okay. If you're going to get a high volume shooter, it's not always going to look perfect, especially when you're taking shots with high degrees of difficulty, which he does. But he comes in off the bench, plays 26 minutes, drops 25 points, turns the ball over a couple times, but 8 for 14 from the field, 4 for 6 from 3, gets to the line 6 times, knocks 5 of those down. And you're like, okay, this is actually really the only reason the Nets were even in the game. A couple other nice contributions from other guys, but getting Cam's 25 points on a team where you really look at that starting lineup and you think you have to squint to see it. You're like, how are they going to score exactly? Like maybe we get some Aldridge mid-range games. Maybe we get some DHO stuff to Patty Mills because we're going to have real trouble spacing the floor as it is with essentially two guys that can knock down threes in Mills and Edwards. So you look at that starting lineup and you say, okay, we're going to struggle to score. We know that. A lot's going to have to go right from the starting unit. And we're going to have to get something from Cam Thomas off the bench. We just have to. And kudos to him. He did it. I was actually wondering, too. There was no reason to really do it in this game, but has anyone seen Cam Thomas smile? Like, I feel like when I was watching the game, I'm thinking, oh, man, I wonder if he even knocked down a buzzer beater if he'd even get a smile out of this guy. I feel like he's just, like, the same face. You wouldn't know if he had just dropped 25 or if he was 0 for 14 from the field. because you just get sort of, and I kind of like that in a player because I feel like that's a steady kind of guy. That's a guy that's going to be able to keep shooting even when things aren't going that well, that the mental piece isn't going to get to him. You know, maybe I'm reading a little too much in from facial expressions, but I'm starting to feel that way about Cam where it's like, yeah, he just looks the same sort of no matter whether it's going really good or really bad. And you're not going to give an MVP for this game because I just don't think you really do that. But what you can do for Cam here is say they really wouldn't have been in this if it hadn't been for him just being able to thankfully light it up from basically all three levels on the court and getting to the line as well. So you get 25 from him. He's still minus 10. What are you going to do? Like, this is a team that's completely undermanned as it is. No one's really, two guys finish in the positives. Weirdly, Javon Carter finishes a plus 8. So maybe you should trade him now. The value might not be higher than what it was on for Javon Carter, and that was on his 13 points and 3 assists. But look, yeah, you're undermanned, so that's just going to be the way it is. So I think you walk away from this game thinking, all right, can we get a few more games like this from Cam off the bench, even with Harden and Kyrie back? That would go a long way because they're going to need to score against some of these teams that are coming up on the schedule here. So I think you like what you see there. Obviously, the defense is just really not there for him. He's not going to be a big offensive facilitator. He had one nice pass to Johnson on a back cut, and that was kind of it from the distribution in his 26 minutes. He had one assist. He can at times rebound the position okay. That really wasn't happening tonight, though Denver's a little bit weird when it comes to that. So ultimately, the Cam Thomas piece ends up, I think, kind of being the story of the game, even though they lost, because you have to say to yourself, well, they're not going to have been all that close, just really almost no matter what. Like, it's a blowout if he doesn't come in and do this off the bench. They lose by 6 anyway, and if he has an off shooting night, it's totally over. And although I don't even know, you would have seen this would have been the group that plays in the blowout, by the way, at the bench, because they really had nobody here because De'Ron Sharp was out of this game as well. Claxton sat out too. So they were pretty thin. Maybe you get a few more minutes out of this bench crew, but ultimately it was just kind of be what you see is what you get with this team. So he drops 25 to essentially keep the game on the closer side. But it's really the end of the game that is the biggest bummer here. Because as you know, they end up losing by 6. Denver only outscores them by 1 in the fourth quarter, but it's these final few minutes where the Nets just cannot score. They just can't get, and some of the stuff is totally brutal in terms of like how this little stuff goes wrong. And the games are always filled with little things that happen. You can always point to a million little things that happen in a game. We tend to notice the ones at the end a little bit more than the ones at the beginning because those are a little fresher in our minds. Maybe you think they're higher leverage because there's time running out. It's just easier to stick in your mind things that happen late. But they have a few things that happen to them that I would put in the sort of bad luck category rather than the bad execution category. And I think sometimes there's a difference, and it's good to remember what those differences are. Because I think it looks to you can look at it and say, hey, did they play a bad game or did they get a little unlucky on some key sequences late? And I think the luck piece factored in. First piece of bad luck, weirdly, is that DeMarcus Cousins gets his second technical on just like totally freaking ridiculous. I can't believe he doesn't think he's going to get a tech, which you're like, okay, who cares? It's a technical foul. But it actually, what it does is it brings Jokic back into the game, which is like essentially the worst thing that can happen to the Nets at that point, is getting Jokic, who they probably were going to try to extend Cousins' minutes as much as possible because Denver's playing on the back-to-back also. And they when Cousins gets booted, they have to bring Jokic back in. You're like, oh, no. Like, maybe we're going to get 4 more minutes of the Boogie experience instead of having, a top 3 player in the NBA come back in. So Boogie gets booted. That's like at like the 8-minute mark or something like that. But it's these last few minutes where you're like, no, these little things that happen, and some of them are just totally basics, like the total basics of basketball that just sometimes do go wrong for you. And these are some veterans that did it too. I'm going to go through those here in a second. We'll take one quick break, and then we'll go through a couple of these key sequences at the end that went a little bit wrong here for the Nets. Okay, so what are a couple of these things that go wrong? Look, some of these are the basics. I don't know what to tell you. 9 times out of 10, well, that's the wrong percentage. 70% of the time, a lot of the stuff, especially the first pigs, doesn't happen. But with about 3.5 minutes left in the game, it's 116-113. Nets have the ball, and they get LaMarcus Aldridge to the line. And Aldridge, who, you know, veteran, is going to be basically unfazed, right? This is like, it's not like big spots are going to really get to him at all. This guy's a freaking 87% foul shooter this season. So, like, this is lining up to be actually a pretty good situation for the Nets, and he misses both free throws. And you're like, oh my gosh, like, how many times is this going to happen? It's a 3-point game. Again, like, 87% of the time, he is going to cut this, or that's a little bit wrong. It's like a little bit less, like 84% of the time, he's going to cut it to a single point game here. Ends up missing both. Also, Aaron Gordon comes down, makes a 12-foot pull-up shot. And then, okay, we're still kind of in it. Still kind of in the game here. Edwards misses a three, and then they get, the ball gets batted around a little bit after a Denver miss, and then the Brooklyn gets it back. And Patty Mills has a wide open look from foul line extended from three and doesn't make it. And he's hit so many big shots this year. Patty Mills, again, you're not blaming anybody for this. It's just these little ways that the ball goes wrong in the worst kind of spots. Because if he hits that three, which again, you have to think he hits that a high percentage of the time, just being such a good three-point shooter and being incredibly clutch this season, just the way things are going for him, he misses that one. That would have still cut it to two with 2 minutes and 20 seconds yet left. This is part of this piece at the end where they just can't score. They score like 1 point over a 4.5-minute stretch. And just nothing is going right. They're still kind of in it at 118, 113. They get another foul on Jokic on a James Johnson getting to the basket. He makes one and then misses the second. That would have cut it to three at that point. And then at that point, the Nuggets just kind of start pulling away. Jokic gets to the line. Then it's a 6-point game. They still have a chance near the end. They still, like, there's like this one last possession, and this is the last one. Aldridge actually gets a little behind Aaron Gordon, slip pass, and for what is, you know, it's sort of a difficult contested layup, but you think Aldridge has a good chance. It's still a pretty good look. That would have cut it to four with, you know, some time left, and Aaron Gordon blocks it, and that's when you can pretty much call it. That's at like 1.5 minute left in the game. So all this stuff right at the end where they fought so hard to stay in it, you know, they've made it a game. They're punching so far above their weight in this one that it's like kind of feeling a little bit ridiculous. And they just, a couple of these little things go wrong. And, you know, do they win the game if Aldridge hits both free throws and Patty Mills hits the three? Nah, it's still going to be close. You know, they still might not pull it out, but they at least would have been in it. And it just ends up not happening. So ultimately, they lose the game. Can't really blame anybody for this one. You know, I'm sure people are going to take shots at Nash. Like, for, you know, Cam Thomas comes out for, I know, you know, maybe people thought he was coming out for too long when he's got, you know, clearly has the hot hand. I'm not going to kill Nash totally for that one, but I'm sure some people will. Ultimately, I think, yeah, you look at this game and you say, you know, they fought pretty hard in this one. It was clearly a better game than the night before against the Lakers. Adam and I went to the Laker game. It was like half, not even half, three quarters of a Lakers home game. If you're watching that one or at it, Lakers fans definitely outnumbered or at least out-cheered what was happening there in Brooklyn. Makes sense to some degree because it's LeBron and the Lakers and they travel really well. But it was a little shocking to hear the crowd support for the Lakers in that game. Ultimately, we had a good time at the game. Just like fun to be in the stadium, fun to see everyone, you know, fun to see, you know, at least LeBron and see Harden and these guys, and Anthony Davis makes his return. The game wasn't all that good, especially near the end, even though Harden put up a hero effort. But all things considered, we'll talk a little bit more about that one, just about the experience in Barclays as we get going later in the week and Adam comes back. But of the two games on the back-to-back, this was, you know, clearly the more competitive one for Brooklyn, which you would have been shocked about, you know, when you found, the second you found out Harden was out for the game and they're playing with this crew. So, tough loss. Like I said, 1.5 out of the play-in game right now over Charlotte, because Charlotte wins. They put up 158 early in the night. I mentioned earlier that there's some not so great injury stuff. It came out earlier late yesterday. Joe Harris is getting a second opinion on his left ankle, that he's had a setback. He's been out since November, and that he's had a setback in bringing the ankle like back online. Like, we thought he was going to be back at this point, and so he had the surgery. This is coming from Chris Haynes over at Yahoo, and that he was like dealing with what Nash called irritation in the ankle. And now that they're going to say he's going to out at least till after the All-Star break, but they're saying that's the earliest. So we went from a 4 to 8 week timeline. We're well, well beyond that at this point. We'll be way beyond it after the All-Star break. And it's just another one of these situations where, you know, it's just a bummer where they are with Harris here. And you know, every team deals with injuries. You know, we know this. Sometimes it can feel like your team deals with more injuries than other teams. That's, you know, in the aggregate, that's simply just not true. Do the Nets deal with some weirdness more than our teams? Yeah, it seems like it when you add the Kyrie piece into this whole thing. So, but Harris is a key component for what they need to do and what they want to do in the future. His floor spacing, we talked about, you know, no matter what you think about him in the playoffs or whatever, even the most, you know, delusional of Nets fans would at least agree that, like, they could really use his shooting right now. And Adam and I would both make the contention that they could use it over the long term as well. So you hope that this is a setback and not like a setback, right? Like, okay, because if they're putting something at the All-Star break at the earliest, that means we're still not sure. Like, there's a really, really open-ended timetable on Harris coming back. And we also know that the All-Star break is a little later this season than it has been in other seasons. And so it gets a little closer to, like, not the danger point in terms of, like, missing the playoffs or anything like that. But, like I said, like, this is just the All-Star break is, you know, mid-February, and the season ends, the regular season ends in April. So you're looking at, you know, a two-month timeline maybe at most for Harris when he actually ends up coming back to the court, and you hope that that's with no other setbacks. And so, I don't know, Nets fans, I want to be positive here, and I think there's, you know, still reasons to be positive. This is a really critical stretch they're coming up on here now. They clear away the Denver game, a few days off, then Saturday at Golden State, Tuesday at Phoenix. Those are going to be really tough games, even with Kyrie and hopefully Harden back at that point. You get at Sacramento. That should be a win because they completely stink. But and then you go at Denver, and then you go at Utah. And at Denver again. So four out of these next five games are really tough ones. And it's always tough being on the road. And maybe it's a little easier for the Nets this season because of the Kyrie piece. But, like, this is, you know, these are three of these four teams have championship aspirations: Golden State, Phoenix, and Utah. You want to throw Denver in there too, because they think that they can, you know, make some improvements and get there because Jokic is so good. Okay, I can throw them in there as well. But clearly, three of those teams do, and this is an important stretch for the Nets. Like, they already have lost three games in a row. Like I said before, they're already 6-10 over their last 16. There's worlds where we're having a much different conversation. And we talked about this right when KD got hurt. Like, this was going to be a very tough stretch through this. We started it with the Los Angeles game, with the Laker game, where we were like, hey, heads up, because once they hit LA, Denver, Golden State, Phoenix, Sacramento, whatever, Utah, Denver, like, that's one of their toughest stretches of the entire season. And they just picked the worst time to have Kevin Durant hurt, and, you know, the Harris isn't back and all this other stuff. So we'll keep an eye on this stuff. Adam and I will come back. We'll preview what to look for over the weekend with this Golden State and Phoenix piece. Hopefully a couple days off gets the Nets a little healthier, gets some time to rest, gets Harden back, and they have him back for this one because they're really going to need him. In the meantime, make sure you subscribe to the Locked On Nets YouTube channel. Really climb over 900 subscribers, folks. Really appreciate everyone jumping over there. Next goal is 1,000. So I will put the link in the show notes, but like and subscribe over on Locked On Nets YouTube. Adam is the one that always has the quotes. I'm not a quote guy. Okay. Can't think of the quotes. He's the one that looks them up. I'm always going to keep that in his purview. So we'll find our next great American poet next time Adam is back. And we'll be back again tomorrow talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.